And then later on, when Paul went down to Athens and then on to Corinth, the saints in Philippi sent funds to him again in Corinth. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9, he's writing to the Corinthians here, and he says, "And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself." Paul did not take funds from the church in Corinth because at the time he thought that was in their best interest. I think later on he decided that that perhaps had been a mistake on his part. But he received funds from the churches up here in Macedonia, down here in Corinth. And now he's imprisoned in Rome, and the Philippians have sent money to Paul once again. And Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 18 when he says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And so the Philippians had sent financial support to help Paul on several different occasions. And folks, that illustrates just how important pleasant memories can be in the life of a Christian, and how important the fellowship is that creates those memories. Pleasant memories can be a blessing in difficult times. Despite Paul's imprisonment, he's praying for the Philippians and he's thanking God for them. Maybe you've heard that old adage that says God gave us memory so that we might have roses in December. Memory works that way. Pleasant memories can help us. Of course, we all understand that there's a flip side to that coin. Unpleasant memories can be a bit of a curse. If we've spent our lives in sin and have troubled those around us, they're not going to have pleasant memories of us. Someone has well said, most people live the first half of their life making the second half of their life miserable. That can happen if we sow our wild oats in the days of our youth and then we reap the harvest of that. But for memories, or for memories to be a blessing to other people, we've got to be a blessing to others. May I ask you a question? Are you the kind of Christian that brings joy to the hearts of other Christians when they remember you? I hope you are. What kind of memories are we creating today? It will affect the kind of future that we have and the kind of future that others will have as they think about us. I am so thankful for the pleasant memories that I have of brethren that I have met through the years, from Dan to Beersheba, you might say, who have been a blessing in my life, and remembering them continues to be a source of blessing to me even today. Well, I want you to notice that in verse 6 and 7, Paul says that he is confident that God will complete his good work in the Philippians. Now, I think I need to mention that there's a good bit of discussion and debate about what this good work is that Paul's talking about here. There are those who believe that Paul is talking about God's work of salvation in the Philippians, that that's the good work that Paul has in mind here. There are others who think that this good work is more limited in its scope, that it refers primarily to God's work through the Philippians and their financial support of the Apostle Paul. Without getting into that particular discussion and debate, it's certainly obvious from chapter 2 that God is at work in the life of the faithful Christian as far as his salvation is concerned, whether that's what Paul's talking about here or not. He says in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." I think in that passage, at least, Paul is talking about God's working in the lives of Christians to bring about their ultimate salvation. But notice that Paul indicates that we've got to cooperate with God. God is there to help us and strengthen us. Paul will tell the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." God doesn't expect us to do this all alone without his help. He's there to help us if we will allow him to help us. Paul told the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There are some who interpret Paul's words in Philippians 1 and verse, verse 6, about God completing the work that he had begun in their life. There are those who argue that that is evidence of the doctrine of once saved, always saved. The New Testament clearly teaches that the believer has security in Christ. But it also teaches that a hearer can stop hearing, and a believer can quit believing and become an unbeliever, and a follower can stop following. And one who has escaped can become entangled again. Look at Philippians, or rather, 2 Peter chapter 2. We can't take the time to read all these other passages. But Peter says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ..." Now who is it that has escaped? Is Peter talking about a Christian here? I don't see heads nodding. Yeah, he's talking about a Christian. That's the person who has escaped. But notice he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." Don't overlook that little word "again." Peter's talking about those who have escaped and then they again become entangled. Well, what would that suggest? Well, they had been entangled, they escaped, and now they're entangled again. Are you with me? Does that make sense? That's what Peter's saying here. Well, he says if that happens, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Peter's talking about true Christians. And he's telling us that those who've escaped can become entangled again. The Hebrew writer tells us that one who has been enlightened can fall away. And Ezekiel tells us that a righteous man can turn away from his righteousness and be lost. And so whatever Paul's talking about here in Philippians chapter 1, he is not saying once you're saved, you're always saved, and you can't possibly lose your salvation. If we forsake God, He's going to forsake us. But Paul is confident that God will complete the good work that He had started among the Philippians. And notice his deep longing for the saints there. He says in verse 8, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." Paul knows that God knows his heart. And he wants the Philippians to believe that he cares for them and he longs for them, and so he appeals to God as his witness. And please note that Paul had a deep longing for all the Philippians. No one was excluded. Despite their imperfections, despite their foibles and their flaws. And Paul longs for these saints, he says, with the affection of Jesus Christ. Reminds me of Jesus' statement in John 13, verse 34 and 35, when he told the disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It appears to me that Paul had learned to love the Philippians with the same kind of love that Jesus had for them. Perhaps we should ask ourselves the question, do we love our brothers and sisters with the affection of Jesus Christ? We should. And if we don't, we need to be working on that. And we need to love brethren in other places with the affection of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we tend to read through Paul's introductory remarks in his letters too quickly, because as I've said on another occasion, we want to get to, quote, more important things. But there's some really important things that he says in his thanksgiving for the Philippians. Thank you for listening this morning.